Now let's continue on and see some more of this convoluted thinking that we're reading here, and it shows that the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Now let's continue on here. He says, however, this reasoning is faulty on all accounts. The first reference to any human resting on the Sabbath is made in Exodus 16:23, where manna was given to Israel in the wilderness, in which they were forbidden to gather on the Sabbath. The plain fact is, no institution of a Sabbath observance was imposed upon anyone before the giving of the law of Moses. Did God impose it, or did he command it? Now, there's a difference. See. Now, if you're going to impose it, that means that you are going to enforce it and make them do it. And God did not do that. We'll see that in just a minute. Now, therefore, in the name of honesty and fear of God, let's refrain from adding to his word what simply isn't there. Now, we're not adding to what simply isn't there. We are discovering what is in there, you see. And that is the difference. Now, where mankind is concerned, did the Sabbath begin with the law? The answer, yes. Sabbatarians deny this. What did not originate with the law could not perish with the law. As hinted previously, they refer instead to God's own seventh day of rest at creation as the original institution of the Sabbath. True, correct, yes. But the Genesis account of God's rest on the Sabbath day was never imposed upon anyone until the exodus of Israel from Egypt. Now, it doesn't say that. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy 30. Now, we've already covered this several times, but let's go there again so we can read it into the record. God didn't impose anything upon anyone and never will, because he has set before us choices. When you set before people choices, you do not impose upon them. So that's an entirely inappropriate and completely silly argument. Is God imposing the Sabbath on anyone today? No. Are they sinning by breaking it? Yes. Do they suffer the consequences of it because they break it? Yes. Now, that's exactly what God gave to the children of Israel and exactly what God gives to us today. And this is the same principle by which he also approached the thing with Adam and Eve, correct? Said you can eat of every tree of the garden freely, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Did he not give them a choice? Yes. Even in the presence of God, right in the Garden of Eden, did God impose upon them? No. Did he give them choices? Yes. Did he hold them accountable for their choices and responsible for their actions? Yes. Did he judge them because of the sins that they committed? Yes. Same way here. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. See, I have set before you this day life and good, and death and evil. And this is what we are all confronted with in our lives, correct? Yes. The truth and the good you find in the Bible. The death and the evil you find in the world. And those things happen because the wages of sin is death. So God gave them the choice. in that I command you this day. So God does command, but a command is not an imposition upon you. You choose to do it. What is imposed upon you is the penalty for breaking it, and what is graciously given to you for obedience are blessings from God. And that's what God is saying here in the whole thing. In that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and keep his commandments. So you see, it's not the law of Moses. Moses never originated it. Moses never wrote one law from his own mind. He just conveyed to the children of Israel the laws and the commandments of God and the ways of God. He was merely a mediator between God and the people. Walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. Now, is that not what we read concerning Abraham? Yes. Did Abraham choose to obey God? Yes. Therefore, it included Sabbath keeping. You can come to no other conclusion. Now, he said, that you may live. But we're going to see a little later on that they say anyone who keeps the laws of God, the commandments of God, are subject to death. God says that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. But if your heart turn away, now that means that you think, you get a different opinion, which you can have. You can think anything you want to. You can have any opinion that you want to, but know for sure you're going to be held accountable for it in this life as God judges your life the way you are living now. And at the resurrection, you will be judged in the day of judgment. But if your heart turn away, so that you will not hear, remember what we read concerning Abraham. Because he obeyed my voice. He heard, he listened, you see. And he says, if you don't hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. This automatic living law has been from creation and will be through all eternity. Let's understand that. If you're drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you will not prolong your days upon the land where you go to possess it, over Jordan to go possess it. You pass over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. Now, doesn't this sound almost exactly the same words that we find in Matthew 17 and 18? Heaven and earth. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus said that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Now think on that for a while. Now if you're all involved in Sunday keeping and this sounds a little strange to you, well, you better ask yourself the question, do you really love God? And if you love him, do you keep his commandments like the Apostle John, the apostle of love who wrote more about the love of God than any other man who was used of God to write the scriptures? He said that if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, there's no way around it, except as you twist and turn it in your own mind. Now let's go on. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice. Same thing is applied to Abraham. and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So it ties it all right in together, does it not? Absolutely. No question about it. God has not imposed Sabbath upon anyone. He says, here are my commandments, you choose to do them. If you do, I'll bless you. If you don't, you're going to have curses. That applies at any time in history, beginning from Adam and Eve, clear to the last man. Now let's continue on here. Then he quotes Nehemiah, where Nehemiah talks about the Sabbath and so forth to try and prove a point, but that doesn't prove the point. Let's see what he says here now on page 40. The Bible reveals in unmistakable language that Sabbath observance was unknown to Israel or anyone else before the giving of the law to Moses on Sinai. Now, he has absolutely no proof for it. Sabbath keeping was made known to Israel in Sinai, which was just right after they got out of Egypt, right? Remember, they couldn't keep the Sabbath while they were in Egypt because they were in bondage. And you see, where does law breaking lead to? It leads to bondage. You become a slave to your sins. And you become a slave to Satan the devil. And that's the whole lesson of types of Israel in Egypt. That because they lost the knowledge of God, rejected what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did, and followed their own instincts and got all wrapped up in the gods and the way of Egypt. So much so that when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, what did the people say? Make us God. So they created the golden calf. So they went right back to the gods of Egypt, you see. Sabbath keeping was made known to Israel at Sinai. Well, of course it was. That doesn't mean it didn't exist before. It therefore could not have been observed by Israel or anyone in any way before them. Indeed, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham, we just read about them, right? And company were not even in a position to explain what a Sabbath was. How do you know? Were you there? Let alone whether they were faithful to observe it. But what did God say of Abraham? What did God say of Enoch and Abel and Noah? They walked the ways of God and obeyed his voice. Thus, we are certain that the Sabbath, where service to God is concerned, was undeniably a part of the Old Testament law which God plugged into operation with Moses and which it had its plug pulled at Calvary. Well, that tells you the way that they think. Now, all of these begin prior to the law, that is, Melchizedek, the tithe, the sacrifice, and so forth, were incorporated into the law and were abolished with the law. Plainly, Sabbatarians err in all counts in maintaining that the Sabbath is still in force because it began before the law and thus was not canceled with the law. Now, you see, you're reasoning in circles and you're picking and choosing. Now, if you don't have the book, it'll be out real soon. Harmony of Gospels, the third edition, where I go through and I clearly explain how it is that Jesus Christ, number one, fulfilled the laws and fulfilled the prophets, and what does that really mean? And it does not mean the abolition of them, because Christ said, don't even think that I came to abolish the law. Now, number 8, Sabbath keeping died with the law. This is the full expose of Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Now let me read the New International Version translation of Colossians 2, 16 and 17. And this is where a lot of people have been led into more and greater sin. Now let me read it here. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you in what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival. Oh my, what a terrible translation. A new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of things that were to come. Absolute improper translation. It's of things which are coming, not were to come. It's a present tense participle. The coming things. In other words, the exact opposite of what they allege, that it did away with these things, it absolutely enforces them, because this shows us God's plan through the Sabbath and holy days. Now, therefore, let me finish this. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So you write for the series on Colossians and the extra one that I did on more on Colossians 2. Now, continuing here. Because we are complete in Christ, which is true. Having found acceptance with God entirely through him, which is true. He has dispensed with the former shadowy elements that regulated meats and drinks, that is clean and unclean foods, and holy days, and any kind, including seventh-day Sabbath. Not man, but God himself dispensed with the Sabbath personally. He never did. Otherwise, God would be lawless. God is lawgiver. So you see what happens when you have such a hatred for the laws and commandments of God, and when you have such a carnal mind that you just despise and hate what God has said, that you despise the Old Testament. You despise those parts in the New Testament which show concerning commandment keeping, and don't read them, don't study them, don't apply them. Now notice, not man, but God himself dispensed with the Sabbath, personally nailing it and the 612 other legal demands to a blood-stained cross. Not one shed of that law could fall off the cross and flutter down to the ground to be picked up by Sabbath again by Sabbath keepers. Therefore, the return to legal observance of the Sabbath or law of any kind is retrogressive and prevents one's acceptance of the only salvation God recognizes, the one provided entirely by Christ through faith alone. Let's come to Matthew 19. Let's see something very clear. Matthew 19. We're talking about salvation through Jesus Christ, correct? That's what he's saying. Let's understand something. Salvation does not come through law keeping. The laws and commandments of God are required to be kept. Salvation is a gift of God. We know that. So don't ever accuse us of trying to earn salvation again. Now here, in Matthew 19, we find something very important. And I know the arguments that are going to come up, because he mentions the commandments of God and he doesn't mention the Sabbath. But my friend, remember this. They were living in a Sabbath-keeping society. They kept the Sabbath by the law of the land. So the young man came. Let's come right here in verse 16, Matthew 19. And behold, one came and said to him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Good thing. He's calling commandment keeping an evil thing. How did Christ respond? Did he say, "Look, the good thing is whatever you think in your mind, and if it feels good and sounds good and appeals to you and it's just overwhelming coming up through your personality, do it"? No. What did he say was a good thing? And he said to him, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life." Now, is he offering him salvation? Yes, he is. Keep the commandments. Now, he being a little technical, he said to him, "Which?" Jesus said, "You shall do no murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So see, there you have it right there. It doesn't say one word about the Sabbath. No, it doesn't. But Jesus said he was Lord even also of the Sabbath, that he showed us how to keep the Sabbath. He set the example. Now notice what the young man said. He said unto him, "All these things have I done from my youth up. What do I lack yet?" See, because Jesus said when you do everything that you've been commanded to, then you're unprofitable servants, you see. So if you do it in the letter of the law, and if you do it because you feel it's imposed upon you, then you haven't been profitable at all. These things are designed so you can do the profitable thing of loving God, of loving neighbor, of growing in grace and knowledge, of fellowshipping with God the Father in Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. And so you can have nothing that comes between you and God. Now let's see what Jesus answered him. Verse 21, he said to him, after he said, "Well, what do I lack? I've already done this. Well, I'm ready for eternal life right now." And Jesus said, "If you will be perfect, go and sell that which you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But the young man was committing idolatry of his things. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So you see, all these arguments concerning Sabbath keeping that are brought up here. See, yes, indeed. You don't have it through faith alone. And by the way, you must have faith to keep the commandments. You must have faith to keep the Sabbath. You must have faith in all of these things. So what we're dealing with here is a lack of faith. Now, I'm not going to continue on any more here concerning the Colossians, the second chapter, but let me just read some of the commentaries that he writes. And this is why people come up with these things, say, "Well, what do the commentaries say?" Well, I'll tell you what. I don't use a commentary, except the biblical word commentary, because it just explains the meaning of the words. There is some doctrine like this in here, but not of the lawless, hateful doctrine of Protestantism. So here's one here. The pulpit commentary says, "With St. Paul, they, the religious festivals and the seventh-day Sabbath, shadow forth prophetically the concrete facts of the Christian revelation, and therefore are displaced by its advent. If so, then God could not judge the world or convict it of sin. The Sabbath of the Jews was typical and therefore was abolished in Christ. Wrong. It's the Sabbath of God, not of the Jews. And therefore, as well as for other reasons, the Lord's Day, which took its place from the beginning of the gospel dispensation, lie, it did not. Paul kept the Sabbath. Peter kept the Sabbath. The apostles kept the Sabbath after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. From the beginning of the gospel dispensation was changed from the last to the first day of the week. Now, pray tell, show me in the Bible where it says that. Doesn't. The Sabbath day was so long and so deeply associated with the stated feast, the sabbatical year, the jubilee year of Judaism, that it partook of their typical character and thus passed away with the other institutions of Judaism. Now remember what we did in the series. We went through the part of the code of Jewish law. The code of Jewish law is Judaism. The word of God is not Judaism. The laws of Judaism in the code of Jewish law are not the laws of God, but are the human laws devised in the minds of men to impose these things upon people. So it was the Jews who tried to impose it upon people and make everything a bondage, not Christian Sabbath keepers who believe in the grace of God and justification by faith. Now here again, he quotes Kiel and Delitzsch saying, but this, that is Sabbath observance, is an institution peculiar to the Old Testament. Not so. Remember what we read concerning the Sabbath in Acts 13, how that Paul preached on the Sabbath, and then the very next Sabbath, what happened? The Gentiles and the whole city came to hear him. And he told them to continue in the grace of God, and grace and Sabbath keeping are united there right by the preaching of Paul, whom these people profess to follow, and they don't even understand it. At the time, as an entelē du nomu, that is, commandment of the law, an ingredient of the Sinaitic law, it belonged to the shadow of good things to come, which was to be done away when the body of Christ had come. Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, can you believe this thinking? You abolish it, but Christ is the Lord of it, and yet you claim to follow him and say he abolished it, but he's the Lord of it. If you believe that he is your Lord, he is also Lord of the Sabbath, and why then do you insist on your Sunday keeping? It's like James says, you're double-minded. You can't have it both ways. And that's just a scriptural fact. And after the completion of his work, he rested on the Sabbath, but he rose again on Sunday, and we've already covered that. Again, you write in for the harmony of the Gospels, and we'll show and prove absolutely that Jesus was in the grave three complete days and three complete nights, and he rose right before the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath ended, so he rose on the Sabbath and not on Sunday. Now see how they go back. Always go back to their lies. Always go back to their false propositions. Always go back to their own God-rejecting, law-rejecting theology. Rose again on Sunday, and through his resurrection, which is the pledge to the world of that fruit, of the fruit of his redeeming work, he has made this day Sunday, the Lord's Day, for his church to be observed by it till the captain of their salvation shall return. Now, I tell you what, someone who doesn't know about the Bible, and they go and they start reading these commentaries, they're going to get very confused. So the best thing to do is this. Read the Bible, study the Bible, begin with the things that are simple and easy to understand, and then go forward from there. See, now, if you don't have the Christian Passover book, right in the very first chapter, we have 14 rules of Bible study. And those are rules that you find right out of the Bible. And those need to be followed to understand it. But understand one thing, and I'll tell you this right here, which is this. If you do not obey the Word of God as you see it and understand it, beginning with the simple, then you will lose all understanding and God will take it from you. You cannot live a lawless life and understand the Scriptures. You cannot reject the commandments of God and understand the Scriptures. You cannot misapply the Word of God through lies and deceitfulness and understand the Scriptures, and that's precisely what we are dealing with here in reading of these commentaries. The next one they have, which we've already covered, we've covered this on the Holy Sabbath series, which then here in the refutation of it, number 9, the fourth commandment is absent from the New Testament. Not so. It's full of it when you come to understand it. Now, let's come to Isaiah 56 and let's understand something here. Let's answer the question, was the Sabbath for the Jews only? Let's see what we have. And here's a prophecy. Is this the Word of God? Yes. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe that the prophets prophesied of him, then you believe in the prophets, do you not? Yes, you do. Can you only believe the prophets in only the things that you agree with? Or must you agree with the prophets in all that they say? You must agree with all that they say. Because if you don't, then you are picking and choosing. And if you are picking and choosing, then you're going to find yourself in trouble. Now let's read this prophecy. This is not hard to understand. This is not difficult to comprehend. This is simple and straightforward and easy to understand. Let's begin right in verse 1. Isaiah 56 and verse 1. Thus says the Lord. Now this is from God. This is not from Moses. This is not from Isaiah. He only wrote what God said. Let's read it. Keep you judgment and do justice. Now, in order to do that, there's got to be some kind of law, correct? Absolutely. Now notice the next sentence here. For my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Who brings salvation? Jesus Christ. His salvation is near to come. This is talking about the ministry of Christ and the salvation that he would bring. Is that not what people want? Salvation through Jesus Christ? Was not Jesus Christ the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament? Yes, he was. Is he not the one who inspired these words to be given to Isaiah, who then wrote it down, and God preserved it and protected it and passed it on down to us today? Absolutely. Now notice, blessed is the man that does this. So there's a blessing. Do you want blessings from God? Do you want God to bless you in what you're doing? Well, of course you don't want God to curse you. Do you? No. Okay. What is it that he does and that lays hold of it? Let's read it. It's in your Bible. That keeps the Sabbath. Now notice in the King James it is keep at. That means is keeping as a practice that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Now, does any evil describe all the rest of the commandments of God? No doubt about it. No doubt about it. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Second commandment, make no idol or bow down to it. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. The sixth commandment, don't do any murder. Seventh commandment, do not commit adultery. The eighth commandment, do not steal. The ninth commandment, do not bear false witness. The tenth commandment, do not covet. If you break any of the other nine, you're doing evil. So it says here that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it, meaning keeping it the proper way according to the instructions in the Bible, and keeps his hand from doing evil. That's how you receive salvation. He says it's near at hand. So what we really have is this. You cannot have salvation apart from Sabbath keeping. And Christ is the one who brought the knowledge of salvation. And Christ is the one who's the Lord of the Sabbath. And Christ is the one who set the example of what we should do on the Sabbath. Now, let's continue here. Neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to the Lord, Gentiles. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Weren't we told that the Sabbath was for the Jews only? Now, we're talking about stranger. Joins himself to the Lord, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. In other words, I'm not part of the children of Israel, so I have no part with God. But God says you can join. When were most of the strangers joined to the Lord? In the New Testament church, correct? Beginning with Cornelius and his family? And all the Gentiles that Paul taught? He taught them to keep the Sabbath? Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus says the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath. Plural. That is the weekly Sabbath, the annual Sabbath. Now you see how much trouble you get yourself into when you believe the kind of things that are written in this book. See, you're rejecting God. Everything that we read tonight is totally countermanded here by the words of God. Now, who are you going to believe? A man or the words of God? Now, notice that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me. Is that not what we're supposed to do? What did the Apostle John write in 1 John, the 5th chapter? Why our prayers are answered is because we keep his commandments and do the things that please him. Ho, ho, ho. That's almost exactly identical to what is said here, isn't it? Because you see, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the word of God is true and eternal, and it fits together, all together, when you really want to understand it. It just falls together perfectly because it is the perfect inspired word of God and is truth. Now notice, and takes hold of my covenant. How do you take hold of the covenant of Jesus Christ? Through repentance of sin and baptism. And then keeping the commandments of God. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my wall. What did Jesus say to the apostles on his last Passover night? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were otherwise, I would have told you. Word for word, almost, of what we have here. So see how utterly foolish and false these arguments of Protestantism are. Now let's continue. and within my walls a place, and a name better than sons and of daughters. What was the promise that Jesus gave in Revelation, the second chapter? He will give us a new name, and he will write upon us, Revelation, the third chapter, in verse 12, the name of the Father, the name of Jesus Christ, the name of the city of New Jerusalem. We have it right here in this cursed, hated Old Testament, in the view of people like Dr. Tardo. And I will give them an everlasting name. Is that not salvation? That shall not be cut off. Now verse 6. Also the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and taking hold of my covenant. Now let's go back and analyze this verse for what it says. And the sons of the strangers. Now we have coming down through Gentile families, don't we? We had the stranger before up here in verse 3. Now we have the sons. Join themselves to the Lord to serve him. How to serve him? To love the name of the Lord. To be his servants. Everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant. What do we truly have? The Sabbath is for Gentiles with a special blessing. Sabbath keeping and salvation go together hand in hand. Just like Sunday keeping and lawlessness go together hand in hand. You see the difference? No one can please God by keeping Sunday. No one is going to receive salvation by depending on their works of Sunday keeping. And they are going against God by accusing Sabbath keepers, you know, the same tactics we're going to see next time. That happens in politics. If someone is against you, you demonize them. And that's what they do with Sabbath keepers. And I'll tell you what, God is going to have his judgment on them. And it's coming. You cannot receive salvation with Sunday keeping. There it is, right in the scriptures. You have to have Sabbath keeping. Well, we'll continue on the next time with refuting Sunday keeping.